Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers, who's sort of dancing over there.
Of course.
We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
And it is, and it's August.
I know. And
so
that is, we're getting into prime time on growing and making.
I know. I love that. I mean, August, we're a couple weeks away is what I'm hearing from the growers to when we start harvesting kind of the Pinot Noir and Chardonnay for sparkling wines.
Right.
Which you know I love.
You do. So that means everybody's kind of back from their little vacations or whatever they were doing. They're getting ready. They're polishing their trucks. Probably not. getting a freezer full of burritos going.
Oh my gosh.
Coffee.
It's so funny you should actually say that. Last year, we did a harvest recap, which we love to do. We'll do another one this year. We do it kind of on the back of the tailgates of trucks, and we get some of our growers and some of the vineyard employees who have been part of our leadership academy to kind of give a recap of what happened during harvest and harvest traditions. And Gustavo Gonzalez from Redwood Empire Vineyard Management actually told this story how he literally makes like enough burritos that he freezes so that every morning, which should be probably midnight time because it's night harvest, he'll grab a burrito and that's like his harvest tradition. So he has enough burritos to last harvest, which Redwood Empire Vineyard Management is a vineyard management company, farms all around the county
so
and beyond.
So it's like 90 burritos?
I don't know how many. That's like a lot of burrito making. It's probably happening right now for Gustavo in preparation for harvest. Well, but I love that story. And it was fun. We got all sorts of harvest traditions. Mm-hmm. So I believe it was Steve San Giacomo said he wears like one hat all of harvest. So he picks his go-to hat and that's his harvest, like ball cap.
Yeah. But he changes the rest of his clothes, we hope.
We hope so. I didn't ask, actually, because I didn't really want to know.
No.
So you don't ask what you don't ask questions that you don't want to know the answers to, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't that, you're a journalist. You know that, right?
Sometimes I do have to ask those questions. But yes, I know what you mean.
And then there's a lot of like scruffy growers, right? Like there's the don't shave during harvest tradition.
It's a nice excuse. Yeah.
So there's lots of fun stuff like that.
But, okay.
Yeah. So we'll get to kind of witness it all, which I don't know about you, but harvest is literally my favorite time of the year in Sonoma County.
Well, of course. Of course. But you also get some time when, you know, you're a harvest widow.
I am a harvest widow.
And so what do you do to fill that? You know, like, do you just work more?
I'm a harvest widow from like 11 p.m. until like 3 p.m. the next day. No, you do. Like, I mean, I think what's great this year for us with the wine growers, you know, we kind of in the spring and early summer, we travel a lot, bringing Sonoma County wines and our partners outside of Sonoma County. And then, you know, August, September, even into October are months where we host a lot of folks in the region because it's just such a beautiful time. And we love folks to have an actual literal harvest experience, whether you're a sommelier or wine buyer or media or just a consumer that loves wine in Sonoma County. And so it's great to have them here when they can actually get out in the vineyards and go to the crush pad and see the whole process. Because I think, I mean, as you know, nothing gives you a better appreciation for wine than actually seeing how it's literally grown and made.
Yeah. So and the county just comes to life.
It does.
And smells great. And
there's like tractors on the road.
Oh,
and
so
you
want
to like kind of honk, but you're also like, it's cool that I live in a place where
you
there's tractors.
Honk.
No, you can't. So I'm telling everyone, don't honk at the tractors. But you know, it's like, it's cool that we live in a place where there are still tractors that drive on our main roads. Probably not the 101, but other roads.
though you never know.
You never know.
You never know. Sometimes those happen.
I mean, I'm not awake at 3 a.m. to actually validate one way or another if there's a tractor on the 101. So it might happen.
I remember during like the COVID years, not such happy memories, but it did make me happy to see tractors out there because it meant that there was some sense
like cycle,
of normalcy.
And some sort of cycle of life that
something was still happening. And people were still out there, at least producing wine that we could drink.
Yeah, which was so important during COVID.
Yes.
And still important.
Always.
I mean, wine is definitely a great partner for whatever experience you're doing.
Okay. Well, I wish you luck in your burrito or tamale
whatever.
Bagel making. I don't know what you'll do, but
I know. It's fun. We'll have to start capturing more of those harvest traditions that we hear about.
I think the food ones are good. The superstitions are good.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what the guys do with their trucks. Like there must be, you know,
something.
I think somebody told me that her Her husband had to always wake up really, really early, always had a can of sardines in his glove compartment.
Oh.
And it kind of disgusted me.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a tradition. I'll stick to the burrito. Gustavo, I'm with you. Let's stay with burritos.
Yep, let's stay with burritos.
Our producer, Jeff, is in on the burritos. Maybe, Gustavo, if you're going to make 90 burritos, what's 180? Right? I mean, maybe so we should just make enough for all of us, because I'm sure they're delicious.
And a business was born on today's good stuff.
Right? And it is fun, too. We'll have to hear there's great wrap-up parties and celebrations that happen, too. So that's always a fun thing to follow along on the harvest. So,
okay.
All the good stuff.
All the good stuff on the good stuff. We will be back soon to introduce our guests. Guests today on The Good Stuff in studio are Mark Stark, executive chef, co-founder, and Terry Stark, hospitality director and co-founder, Stark Reality Restaurants. Welcome to you both.
Well, thanks for having us. Hello.
Yeah. Well, so many people know your many restaurants, which include Monty's and Augie's and Stark Steak and Seafood, Bird in the Bottle, Grossman's, Bravas. I could probably go on. Yes,
Willie's
where
seafood.
It all started. But yes. They may not know a lot about your background or your stories. So that's what we're here to unfold. Yes. And Chris in particular really likes a good romance story. So, we'll get to that.
I'm sentimental.
I'll try to give you one.
Yeah,
I'll try
to give you one. All right. So tell us each a little bit about, kind of where you grew up. Were you into wine? What brought you here?
So I grew up in San Mateo, but I had three generations on my mom's side from Santa Rosa to Cloverdale. So as a kid, came up here on the weekends, a couple weeks in the summertime, stayed with my grandparents, that kind of thing. Actually went to some of the restaurants that we now own.
Stop it.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, that's surreal.
When I was a kid, I never thought in a million years I would end up living here. But I did, nonetheless.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah. I'm from San Mateo and ended up here because of Mark, really, and my family.
Okay, so there's a lot more to tell.
Hi, Mark.
There
hi,
is. Mark. Yes. I'm actually from the East Coast. Grew up in Maryland on the Chesapeake Bay. Mm-hmm. And no clue or idea what I wanted to do with my life. So I did the circuit in college, hit about two or three of those. And one day needed a job, ended up washing dishes in Washington, D.C. Mm. And it was then these are my people. This is what I'm supposed to do. And I went home and told my parents I'm going to culinary school. And by that time, they were like, whatever.
Just do something.
Good luck. So I went off to CIA in New York and then cooked in D.C., Seattle, and finally had always wanted to cook in California and migrated down this way.
Mm. So I have so many questions.
I was going to say, what was it about These Are My People? Like, what was that feeling? Because, I mean, there's a lot of hustle and bustle going on. It's not an easy job.
I gave a speech years ago at the Culinary Institute to graduates. And I started off the speech by saying, we are a community of misfits until you put us all together. Then it works.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I'm a very visual person for learning. I tried reading, didn't really care for it once. I love working with my hands, being creative, like I said, you put us all together, we kind of make sense.
So Chesapeake Bay, that does have its own sort of culinary vibe to it. But were you a foodie before this restaurant job or not?
No.
It wasn't really something you paid attention to at all?
You know, if I look back on it, I could see certainly some interest. I loved to watch my mom cook. I would sit on the other side of the counter and eat all the broken lasagna noodles and things like that.
Okay.
But I did, you know, food was certainly in the background. There is, you know, most of my family was in the military. I didn't want to go that route, but turns out you go into the culinary field. Yeah, it's pretty close. there's a lot of discipline.
Yeah.
Right. And,
which, you know, I thrive in.
So you're washing dishes and you realize these are your people, but to actually go to culinary school is a very big decision, I would think. So what was it that you felt like you needed from a, you know, an educational perspective rather than just working in a bunch of restaurants?
Well, the first thing was I was 23, I believe, when I started washing dishes. And so I kind of needed to fast track a game plan.
Right. Yeah, get this going fast.
Especially for his mother.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah. So I was lucky enough to be working for an ex-grad from CIA, and he had talked to me about it. And we just fast-tracked it. Application, did the amount of hours I needed to do for cooking, and he drove me up to New York, and I'm glad he did. I was a little bit older than most of the kids up there, which, you know, was good for me. And
what is culinary school like? I mean, what is that process?
Like,
I mean, I have my MBA, so I know it's 2 years. I do these certain marketing economic classes, but like culinary school,
it's
like,
pretty unique. I mean, imagine, Hyde Park, 1,200 or 1,600 students. 80 of them are coming in as newbies.
Uh-huh.
Every 3 weeks, 80 go out on extern, 80 come back from extern, 80 graduate every 3 to 4 weeks.
Wow.
But basically everybody there is on the same page. You know, they're all trying to get into the culinary field, which makes it unique.
Yeah.
Now, is there a wine component, or was there a wine component at that part, at that point in time at Hyde Park, or was it really?
Yes, absolutely. And you had mentioned earlier before we got started, you know, were we into wine? And no, I don't think I started drinking wine until my 30s.
Mm.
You know, it was beer and tequila.
Yep. Well, that sounds like your people, the chef, and our producer.
It sounds like our producer, too.
Yes. But I mean, that kind of environment, yeah, you're just like lucky if you drink anything at the end of a shift. So, all right. But Terry, you did school for hospitality, correct?
I did. I went to University of Oregon, and actually, my degree was in leisure studies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah, who wouldn't want to do that?
I know. Amazing. Yes.
Yeah, I started in business school, and I couldn't get through calculus, so I quickly went over to this department, leisure studies, which had a private sector and public sector option, and the public was Parks and Rec, and the private was hotel restaurant.
Yeah, interesting.
So it was actually a perfect major for me and worked out great.
Yeah.
And so when you do kind of the hotel restaurant part, like, do you learn cooking as well? Or you're really just sort of how to run a restaurant, how to run a hospitality staff? Like, what kind of classes were you taking?
It was like marketing, management, accounting of leisure services. So anything. And it was really the study of how people spend their leisure time, how much they're willing to spend
on that
per hour.
Fascinating.
It was very fascinating. I enjoyed it a lot. So.
And so were restaurants kind of more what you felt like you wanted to go into, or hotels, or were you still to be determined? Or.
Yeah, I didn't know at first. I thought maybe cruise. You know, cruise ships, that kind of thing. And then I ended up doing an internship at Marriott Hotel and ended up in the hotel business for the first couple of years of my career out of college. And then ended up moving over to a restaurant company, California Cafe, Where I Met Mark.
Well, here we go. Okay. Here's the romance story.
Here we go.
So this is where Carissa starts asking the hard questions.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Bring it on, Terry. Let's hear.
Well, it's kind of a funny story because...
Mark's actually, I think, blushing a little bit. You can't see, but
he's
I think he might
that you're
blushing.
So excited about
this. I know.
This.
I don't know. Whatever. Come on.
So California Cafe Restaurant Group, they wanted to start a catering division, off-premise catering, and that's what I was doing for the Hyatt hotels down the street. And they had, but the actual restaurant had a GM, Ulrika, who's our director of operations now,
wow.
still.
Wow.
And she had been with the company for like 10 years, and then they got Mark to come down from Seattle to be the chef. Well, the two of them could not get along. And Mark...
That is putting it mildly.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So Mark
well,
called,
we're both German.
Yeah.
Mark had called corporate and said, either she goes or I go. So I had met Ulrika previously, and she calls me up at the Hyatt, and she says, they want to move me to start this catering division. I don't know what I'm doing. Would you maybe want to interview? I can hire somebody. So anyway, long story short, I moved over to California Cafe and met Mark.
Okay.
And that's the beginning of the story.
And did you not get along at first either?
No, we did.
Well, she asked Ulrika, what's up with that chef? And she
like,
said...
Like, as in, you're interested?
Yeah.
What's up
right.
with
I was
that
like,
chef?
He's kind of cute.
Okay.
Ulrika told Terry...
I'm tracking.
He's a real a-hole.
Oh.
And he's married with a kid.
Oh.
But I was actually going through
a divorce
at the time.
And I said, okay, whatever. I can deal with that.
And remember that Ulrika still works with us.
I was going to say,
She runs our company. And we still butt heads, but I love her to death.
That was 30 years ago.
Wow.
Jeez.
She's the best.
Okay, so how does it end up on... What's a first date like between a chef and a hospitality...
Well, awkward, really awkward. So,
are like, you where do you be good with people?
Like, where do you
food?
Eat?
Yeah, where
well,
do you
well, here's what? The deal. I asked him out
what?
Three times, and he turned me down.
Ooh.
It was actually the third time he finally said yes.
Mark, but, what was going on?
Well, you know, they say going through a divorce, blah, blah, blah. You know, you should really be good with yourself before you get back into that. And I had been... married for years, so you know, just a little bit out of practice.
Yeah,
and I didn't have the phone to Google how to ask somebody out.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm a single,
but she was making it easy for you.
I was a single dad,
yeah,
so you know, I had that responsibility
too. Yeah, a lot to sort through.
It's a lot, but Terry was persistent.
I was very persistent.
Okay,
I just knew.
Yeah,
so it was he's the one.
So what was the first date? What'd you do?
We were doing a catering together, and she was very flirty with me while we were doing the catering. I burned some leaks
because you were distracted.
Distracted.
Oh, I love
it. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you be?
Yes.
So she, when we got back to the restaurant, she left and. I cleaned up, got the courage to call her, and listen, if there's anybody out there that really wants a good move, this I'm going to give you one right now.
Okay.
I love it.
I call her, and I said...
well, you're forgetting that I invited you to Thanksgiving.
Yes, but...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Ooh. Whoa,
we'll get back
to
that.
Okay.
But this was going to... We're going to go out to sushi in my head. And I said, Terry, this is Mark Stark, the chef. She goes, I know who you are. I said, look, so let's say... I were to ask you to go out, say on a Thursday, say at 6:30, say to sushi, you would say yes?
Oh my God. Terry, that was rough start.
Rough.
Long pause. I said, oh, this is a big mistake. She goes, yeah, sure.
I think I said, Mark, I'm just trying to be your friend.
I love it. So sushi was
first?
So we
had sushi and then he came... to Thanksgiving Thursday.
Like with your family?
Mm-hmm.
Is this like a big thing? How is Thanksgiving a big deal in your family? Like who's this random guy coming?
It was, yeah.
I came for dessert.
Yeah. Okay. I told him to come for dessert. Everyone would be drunk.
Right.
It wouldn't, you know, not a lot of pressure.
He wouldn't be judging like their cooking skills, that kind of thing.
My grandmother was not a good cook.
Yeah, because I mean,
God bless her.
That must happen a lot where people are like, oh, I can't have them over. Like, how could I ever measure up?
But it really does.
Yeah.
We don't get invited anywhere.
I was going to say, I would not invite you over. I'd invite you over for a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
But see, if you knew us, I mean, pizza, whatever.
Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
I'm like,
sure.
Even better.
Happy cherries.
Absolutely.
Happy cherries. Right?
We have that to offer.
I know. I'm good with the grilled cheese. That's about it.
We always say it's not like we sit at home eating foie gras and caviar every night.
Of course not. But I mean, that was pretty bold to do the Thanksgiving move. But you sort of like figured out a way to do it on the safer side.
Well, I show up. I brought a bottle of port. And I don't know, there's maybe 15, 16, you know, and there's some grandparents. And I sit down and so nervous, I promptly broke one of the antique glasses
at
a grandma. And her grandmother,
Nana,
she was so nice. She looks at me and she goes, don't worry about it, son. It was old anyway.
Oh, bravo.
Well, we have to take a quick break. We will come back, hear more about the Stark story. Stuff with our guests Terry and Mark Stark of Stark Reality Restaurants. And so auspicious beginnings to this, you know, formidable partnership that now has so many successful restaurants in Sonoma County. So you get together, you break glasses, and grandmother's okay with it, the nana's okay with it. Then what? Like, you start thinking about opening your own restaurants? Like, how does that start?
We actually moved here first.
Okay.
So we continued to work together for the most part for the next 9 years, I think. And then we had an opportunity to move into my grandparents' house in Santa Rosa. And I had brought Mark up to meet my mom, who was living in Santa Rosa, maybe a year before that time. And we started in Healdsburg, and he was like, oh my, how do you live here? How do we live and work here?
How can we
do this?
Mm-hmm. Because
this is beautiful.
It's so amazing.
And
so what year would that have been?
That was in 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, probably 2000.
Wow. So even pre Dry Creek Kitchen.
Yeah.
It's really not.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I think Charlie had just moved in the town right around then, huh?
Maybe around then, and then, but the building hadn't been built, and so there was Bistro Ralph's. Was that kind
Bistro
of like
Ralph's,
the go-to?
Yes.
Felix and Louis.
And
was Ravenous?
The brewery.
Ravenous, yeah.
Oh,
the brewery was there.
Bear Republic.
But it really reminded me of where I grew up. You know, you're an hour outside of D.C., mm-hmm. but you know, you're in rural,
beautiful
country, farmers. And it was really about the instant sense of community that I certainly got, mm-hmm. you know, as a cook of being up here, that we really just, you know, that's why we're here. We moved here because we love this place, and then figured out how to
stay here,
pay the rent.
Yeah. Well, we were living in Menlo Park, and it was so keeping up with the Joneses, and nobody was, there wasn't a sense of community because everyone was like scrappling to just try to make it and pay the high rents, and we were never going to be able to buy a home down there in the industry that we were in. And so this opportunity to basically take over my grandmother's $512 mortgage was really attractive.
Yeah,
we were I mean, although, you know, by that time I was a regional chef, and Terry was, you know, doing well with the catering. It's, you know, it's not a high paying job.
Yeah.
Right.
Or industry.
Yeah.
And so Terry's, you know, it was check to check and trying to raise his kid. And secretary says that, you know, we were so broke we couldn't pay attention. So to come up here and maybe get a break, and try to restart.
And it was interesting because the minute we moved up here, my mom, born and raised here, same as my grandparents, and so all of a sudden these doors started opening. We moved in, I remember July 1st, and by July 3rd, Lisa Hemingway was in our living room.
Oh my God.
Asking us for her, for us to buy her restaurant.
Oh my gosh,
wow.
Stop it.
That was quick.
It was crazy, but my mom was friends with her, had a mutual friend, and so things just started opening up for us, and we decided that was time. It was time to do our first venture.
So did you buy her restaurant? I don't remember
the
history. No, okay.
You know, because we felt that her name was so strong and reputation for being a successful restaurateur for so long around here. We're like, no, we can't touch that one. And then we were approached by Michael Hirschberg to maybe buy Sassafras.
Oh.
And Michael had owned, I don't know, 6 restaurants over the years, and again, we didn't feel like, excuse me, that was the right way to go.
Mm. But you knew you wanted to open your own restaurant. That was sort of...
Yes, we had a vision on what the concept would be, and it was small plates. Terry and I, you know, we always like to sit at the bar and eat appetizers because that's where a lot of the flavor is, and you can move on to different flavors as you're going through that section, as opposed to just sitting down to a big plate. So we didn't invent that. I mean, people think we invented small plates, but we didn't.
Well, when we opened Willie's Wine Bar, it was like we had created that concept. But it was funny. When I left the Hyatt Hotel Group, the GM gave me a poster tube, and he said, "This might be worth some money someday. You might want to frame it." So I took it home, and it was a Willie's Wine Bar poster, and I didn't know what that was or meant, but I framed it, put it in my apartment, then met Mark, and he said, "What a great name for a place someday."
I love that.
And he said, "My dad's nickname in the Marine Corps was Willie."
So, and he liked wine.
And loved wine. So then when we moved here, I took a job as the sales director at Vintner's Inn.
Oh, yeah.
And... just for the first year. And then we found the Orchard Inn because I would cross over and go down Old Redwood to go home to avoid the traffic. And finally we met with a broker, and I had already told Mark about this funky little spot, and the broker had a couple listings, and he put out the Orchard Inn. I'm like, "Mark, I told you about this place." So we went out and kicked the tires and figured out how to get in there, and so we're going to do Willie's Wine Bar, not knowing that it existed in Paris for many, many years prior. So I went into Percy's office at Vintner's Inn to give my notice. He had just come back from Paris, and he had a menu on his desk. And I said, "What is that?" And he's like, "Oh, I brought this back for you and Mark. You would love this place." So I went back to my office and got on my dial-up real quick, you know.
Oh, my God.
It was like, you know, beep, beep.
AOL,
So I called Mark. I said, "Willie's Wine Bar is in Paris, Mark." But it still worked out.
He didn't. The owner's name is Mark as well. And he didn't mind.
No.
Well, that
He's been here. We've been there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
I wondered about that. That's awesome.
But when we decided we're gonna leap and do this thing, we met with our broker, and then we're going to meet with the Francos who owned the Orchard Inn. And kind of discussed the details. And we had to put down a $1,000 good faith check at that point. And so we did. We wrote a check, and then the Francos left, and we were left with Tom. And Terry looked at Tom and said, "So when do you think you'll be cashing that check?" Because we didn't have the $1,000.
We didn't have
$1,000.
Like
$400. You're like, "Can you wait a couple months?"
He says, "Yeah, I'll hang on to it."
Oh, my gosh. So
and then Willie's Wine Bar in Santa Rosa was born.
Yes.
And I mean, from my memory, instant success. Like, I'm maybe not quite that simple to say, or
it was crazy because we didn't even hire hosts. I thought, "Oh, I'll just be running the door. Mark's in the mm-hmm. kitchen. You know, we'll have like a nice little leisurely start. And it was insane. Yeah. Insane.
Well, you were onto something. And I mean, the small plates concept for sure, but I think also the wine component. I mean, here you are in wine country. It's like, let's give people lots of different choices that they can have for wine too. So, yeah. Fantastic.
Well, I want to, yeah. You need to do like four shows with us.
I know. There's
so many things. I know. I mean, so Willie's Wine Bar starts. You're now really working together on something you own. That's got to feel different.
Yes.
So how was the approach? Like how was that working together in that environment? And how did it seem versus kind of, you know, all the roles before?
I think for myself, I was scared to death because I was pretty young, but I worked in all corporate environments where I had my paycheck and my insurance.
A lot of security.
And, you know, so that added a lot of stress for me.
Yeah.
Mark, I think, took it a little bit better. But we always worked well together before. So.
Yeah. Okay.
So we both have a pretty good sense of humor. And
that helps.
Don't sweat the small stuff too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an important aspect of anything in restaurants. But we have to take a quick break. We will come back soon with Mark and Terry Stark. Stuff talking with Mark and Terry Stark of Stark Reality Restaurants. And Chris, I think you wanted to know something.
No, I love all your restaurants, first of all. I'm a fan.
I do too.
Long time fan.
Thank you.
First time host or whatever. Where do you get the inspiration? Because I mean, everything is such a unique experience from the moment you walk into a restaurant, the feeling, the ambiance, and then the food, the pairing. Like, so where does that come from? All those ideas and concepts.
It starts with the available space.
Okay.
We kind of take a look at it and say, what would work here? And that's depending on what's around us, mm-hmm. What's needed in that area, and the community. And then, thank goodness, Mark can assimilate to almost any cuisine. And he does a really good job at that, clearly. And so we've been able to do these distinctly different concepts. Mm-hmm. And like Bravis, for example, you know, going into the old Ravenous spot, the kitchen is tiny. And so we were doing small plates, and Mark's like, well, let's do smaller plates. So,
and then paella.
Yeah.
Outside. Hello.
Right. Yeah. No, there was no room inside.
Well, there you go. Now it makes sense.
You know, just to be clear, when we came up here, it was to live in this community, and we had the opportunity to open a place like Willie's Wine Bar, and that was the goal. That was the beginning and end of the goal. There was no master plan. But as we grew, certain spots, buildings would come available, and we would just look at the building and say, well, what would work here? So Stark Steakhouse. Yeah. It's either going to be a steakhouse or barbecue. One, we're on the wrong side of the tracks, and people will drive for meat.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we decided on the steakhouse. And the burn the bottle reminded me of an old freestanding restaurant in Maryland called The Roost. And I remember it had a big weather vane rooster on the top. And so, you know, the bird in the bottle, it just all kind of came together. But once we decide what the cuisine should be, then the process is about 2 years of reading. Hmm. And it's not necessarily cookbooks. It's history books. Hmm. A lot of times, encyclopedias. So, you know, there,
those don't still
there we
exist.
Are on on vacation, hanging out by the beach, and I'm reading an encyclopedia of American food or Jewish cuisine or whatever. So to learn not what they cook, but why they cook. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then from there, kind of work backwards and start making recipes. And
see, I wondered if it was just that you wished some of the food was available so you could go out to dinner, and so you're like, we need to open up a steakhouse in the middle of Santa Rosa because there's none.
Yeah, there is that component.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there is, sure.
Where do I get good bagels?
Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
Well, that was for Terry.
Yeah.
The sad thing is we don't necessarily eat in our restaurants very much.
Well,
it's
no.
Because, you know, we're in
yeah,
them.
Yeah, you're in them.
But, you know, eating there, it's people ask, why? Why don't you eat there? And it's simple.
It's, like it's work.
Do you like the sound of your voice on your message machine? Not that anybody does that anymore.
Yeah, right.
No. Does an actor like to watch his movies? Not the good ones.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's very fair.
But every single one of your restaurants, I will just say from my own point of view, is a huge success. I mean, the food always works. The ambiance is amazing. The hospitality is also very welcoming. And so across all these concepts, I mean, you may spend 2 years with the history and, like, you know, thinking about it all, but then the execution works in every concept. So how do you do that? I mean, that's the hard part.
42 years of cooking.
Yeah.
And better get it right.
Right, and the hiring and sourcing. And
we have a great team.
Yeah, the
great
cocktail
team.
Side, the wine side, everything of it.
Yeah, the people that have chosen to work with us over these years are amazing, and they help us continue to do these concepts and make them solid. And you know, they all take a little while to get their footing, but. Yeah, they've all made it, so.
Yeah.
No, and I see familiar faces, you know, if they are moving around to your different restaurants. I'm like, wait, you were at Stark's last time I was there, and now you're over at Bird in the Bottle. So I think you have so much adaptability in the team that you curate, which is really wonderful.
Well, we are unfortunately out of time, and we've so enjoyed you being here. Thank you so much for joining us on today's Good Stuff.
I am going to invite them to stay for our last round, though, because I have an idea.
Let's do it.
So let's take a quick break, and we'll come back for our final section.
Okay. Wrapping things up with our guests, Mark and Terry Stark, and
I asked them to stay.
She asked them to stay because you have a compelling question.
Well, you know, we talk about this is the good stuff, and just you should eat the good stuff, enjoy life, whatever that means for you. And so we always talk about our good stuff wine. What do you open on a Tuesday night? But I want to know, like, you're at home. There's no lights, camera, action in the kitchen. What do you make, Mark? What do you cook? What's your go-to?
Or what does Terry request?
I want to hear both.
Those are two different things.
Yes, I want to hear that. Okay.
What does Terry request? It doesn't really matter because I usually don't make it anyway.
Whoa.
Terry's got her go-to. She's a good cook. I like to sit on the other side of the counter and watch her cook. Her specialty is trashy tacos. So
yum.
You know. The hamburger meat with the packet.
Yeah. Nice.
But what she does is she takes the tortillas and she crisps them up. So they're like semi-fried. Mm.
That sounds good. Really gourmet.
It's delicious. And I just sit there like a hungry puppy.
I always think nachos are the sign of a really good restaurant. Like if you can deliver outstanding nachos, you're winning.
French fries.
So I'm right there with you.
There you go.
What do you like to make, though?
I tend to lean to just a simple pasta salad. Mm. We do during the season, you know, crack crab and
sourdough,
and that's the the last meal.
I like
Caesar
that.
Salad, bread, mm-hmm. crab, sriracha mayonnaise, and copious amounts of white wine.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was gonna say like, and what are you drinking? All right, so copious amounts of white wine,
and I was gonna say my last meal, I would be doing French fries and drinking some Kistler Dunn Ranch Chardonnay. So I would just go all in the big basket of fries.
Sure.
Yeah. I'd probably be coming for some of your Stark truffle fries. Or just to throw that out there.
That's a solid choice.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm going to
really
do.
Is.
Virginie, what are you doing?
I like the trashy tacos, so I may have to copy that or be invited over. I'm not sure. Or maybe that's your next concept is trashy tacos.
Maybe it's just a food truck, trashy taco food
truck. Something. Yeah, and copious amounts of white wine.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you picking anything in particular, or are you just going white? It doesn't matter.
I think Chardonnay.
Okay. Well, there you go.
All day.
Well, there's a Good Stuff Tuesday night.
There you go.
Maybe not just Tuesday. Yeah. Well, I just want to give a plug to your restaurants. If anybody wants to find out more, starkrestaurants.com is where you can check all 8 restaurant concepts.
and go visit them all. I think you should get like a little passport.
Yeah.
That has been a disgust.
Oh, I'm not, oh. I'm not surprised. There you go. I like that.
Well, thank you again for joining us from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.